Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 this morning. Genesis chapter 2, and a woman that feareth the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, and let's start reading in verse 4. Genesis 2 and verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, and the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Drop down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe that we can trust in every word that is written in this book. And I believe that God knows some things about his creation. And he established some things about his creation. He made this world in its perfect state before the fall of man. It was an environment that was just without flaw. And he placed man in it. It was given to him. And there was no rain. Isn't that nice to not hear the rain out there this morning? But it never rained. God just sent a mist to the ground every day to water the plants and the crops and all the other things that needed it. There was no sweat. There was no weeds. There was no sorrow. And there was no death. That was the condition of things as God gave it to Adam and placed him in it. And then it says in this perfect environment, God even then makes a garden for Adam and put him in it to dress it and to keep it. Work's not part of the curse. That existed beforehand. God gave Adam something to do, a purpose. Man needs a purpose. God had this beautiful place and all these things created here, and all was good until verse 18. Let's look at that again here. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. That's God's assessment. It's not good that man be alone. And then he began to bring these creatures to Adam. How about this one, Adam? No, not interested. How about this one? Nope, nothing to do with that monkey. And on it went. And it says there was not an helpmeet found for him. So God says, I will make one. And he put him to sleep. And he reached into his side and pulled out a rib. Then it says he closed up the flesh in thereof. And he made the woman for man. This was God's plan. It wasn't, as someone said, Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Amen. That's God's plan. Any deviation from that is a deviation from God's intended purpose. I don't care how many letters of the alphabet you want to assign to those things. God's got nothing to do with that. It was male and it was female. Amen. Period. Anything you add to that is a disruption of God's plan and purpose, a perversion of it, actually. This is what God created. This was God's plan and purpose. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 19 for a moment. Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 19. And he's being questioned, of course, by the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 3 of chapter 19 of Matthew. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And just like Satan, their forerunner, they're twisting the scriptures. Verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them, read it, male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So Jesus in the New Testament restates what we just read there in Genesis chapter 2. God made the woman for a man, an helpmeet, a companion, a co-worker with a purpose, a partner to go through life with. Because it was not good that man should be alone and to bring new life into the world. That's God's purpose. That was God's plan. And man's been messing with it ever since. But we're looking at mothers this morning as Mother's Day. So go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house. A wise woman builds it. Wise woman attends to it. A wise woman sees to it. Go to Titus chapter 2. You might want to keep Proverbs 14. We'll not right away, but we will be going back to that if you don't want to have to hunt for it again. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Paul is giving some instruction here about, he's touched on pastors in the previous chapter, and now he's just given some general instruction to others. And he says in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young ones. So the good things, some specifics now about the good things to teach, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, these things go completely against political correctness in our common culture today. But it's not the first time the Bible's been contrary to society and man's ideas. If you got a problem with what it said there, you got a problem with God. That's what he said. And if we believe this is God's word, we believe that every word is true and pure and right, and it's given for our instruction, then we need to listen to what God has to say. And here's what he says about the role of women in the home. And the elder women are supposed to be teaching the younger women how to do this. Obviously, hopefully they've learned to do it themselves properly. But let's go to one more passage here in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So in Titus, he said that it doesn't cause God's name to be blasphemed. Here he says that the enemies don't speak reproachfully of us, how the women conduct themselves. So he's told them in chapter 14 of Proverbs to build the house. Titus, he said, to keep the house. Here he says, to guide the house. Woman's got a responsibility from God for the house, the household, the home, to take care of things. And the wise woman, if you're a wise woman, you're going to strive to fulfill God's purpose. Amen. In keeping and building and guiding the house. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, where we get some very thorough instruction regarding, as it says in verse 10, the virtuous woman. And I'm going to go through here this chapter verse by verse, starting in verse 10, and just look at some of these things. Here in verse 10, he says this of Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. These precious jewels. That God says through Solomon, this woman, this virtuous woman, has a price that exceeds the price of a ruby. You know, God has a lot to say about men in the scriptures. And God has some good things to say about good men. But I can't think of anything, maybe I'm missing something, but I can't think of anywhere that God ascribes such a value to a man as he does to this virtuous woman. God puts a great value on this good woman. Maybe even greater than any value that he assigned to a man. Think about that. And if I'm wrong, show me, and I'll correct that, but at least it would match anything that he gives to a man, if not exceeding it. This woman has some great value, the virtuous woman, the wise woman, if you please. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of his life. This is a woman that can be trusted. And good comes to this man that is clearly attributed to his wife. Because of her, this good has come to him. Because she's a wise woman. Building her house. If good comes to her husband, then good comes to her as part of the home. She's building it. She's taking care of it. Directly attributed to her. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maids. She works tirelessly to care for the needs of her household, or building her house, and gathers wisely as she seeks what she needs. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Now, in Titus, it said that she was a keeper of the home. Keeper at home. But obviously, from what it says here in Proverbs, it doesn't mean she's kept locked in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant all of her life. This woman obviously goes out. She's buying a piece of property. She's buying it. Amen. And developing it. Planting the vineyard. She's not a mindless robot. She's got a price of value far above rubies. And she's obviously a diligent worker, showing forethought and investment in the future. Looking ahead, how can I build my house? My family, my husband. Even her maidens, as it mentioned earlier in verse 15. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Her first priority is her home, obviously, from everything we've seen so far. But she has compassion on those who are in need, looking beyond the walls of her house, reaching out and ministering to them as well, caring for them also. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Some of these things seem to be a bit repetitious, the making of things and the selling of them and so forth. But notice in verse 22, she doesn't neglect herself. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's not wearing old burlap bags or flour sacks or something. It's all right to look nice, ladies. Amen. That's part of the virtuous woman. She takes care of herself, and her actions reflect well on her husband also. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. Her tongue is tamed. Brother Summerdahl preached a message, I believe it was the last night, Wednesday night, regarding this. You remember what he said about before you say something about someone, think. That's the virtuous woman. The law of kindness is in her mouth. I think of Colossians 4:6, where it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That's the virtuous woman. Her tongue is not biting and acidic, not catty, but she's speaking kindly and wisely, opening her mouth with wisdom, thinking before she speaks. Now, certainly, this doesn't just apply to women, but that's the application we're giving things this morning. But she's careful about what she says. You know, some things will be better left unsaid. Because once you said it, you can't get it back. And sometimes those words sting and hurt more than anything else that we could do. The virtuous woman is watching her tongue. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Always building that house. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, giving honor to whom honor is due. Sometimes, guys, we're like the old boy that been married for about 40 years. And he says, look, I told you I loved you when we got married. If anything changes, I'll let you know. That just doesn't cut it. Honor them, men, children. Honor to whom honor is due. Praise her for the things that she does. The many things that she does. The constant things that she does, as illustrated throughout this chapter thus far. Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, sometimes I see some of these famous people, women that I remember from my younger years. Beautiful women at one time. Who have tried to maintain that beauty over the years. But you can't cover up the sin and the wicked lives that they've lived. And it reflects in their face. No matter how much plastic surgery and Botox and makeup, you can still see it. Beauty is deceitful. Her favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And ladies, that's where it starts, with a fear of God. To build your house aright, to guide and to keep it, it starts with a healthy fear of God. To love him above all else and seek to do his will, to do his pleasure. That's what's needed. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Even when our praise is lacking for them, the works alone are going to praise them. This woman is a gift from God. Amen. Just as Eve was to Adam. Because God says, it's not good. You're alone, Adam. I know what a mess you'll make of things. I know what your house will look like. That woman's touch, amen, makes all the difference in the world. We'd be all right with, instead of curtains, just a sheet over the window, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's not good that a man's alone. So God gave to man the woman. This creature whose value is above rubies. And we need to praise them and appreciate them. This co-worker to help us carry life's load. This companion to share life's journey with. A gift from God. Go back now to Proverbs chapter 14. This woman we've been concentrating on, the woman we've been looking at here in Proverbs chapter 31, is the first part of verse 1 of Proverbs 14. Every wise woman buildeth her house. She strives for that. Probably not always successfully. Because there's none of us that's perfect. But that's her desire. That's what she's shooting for, to build, to guide, and to keep the home. The wise woman. But the second verse says, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. These two are set in contrast to each other. The foolish plucketh it down. This woman's doing just the opposite of the wise woman. And you look through the scriptures like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is an example. It says, there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And there's several other verses that indicate that. It's not a one-time thing. It's a constant thing. This woman plucketh it with her hands, continually tearing it down, destroying it. The foolish woman. I was reading a couple of, looking at the Huffington Post this week, I think it was Friday, and I noticed a couple of headlines, of course, all in light of this leaked document about the Supreme Court's possible ruling regarding Roe v. Wade. And I want to read to you two quotes that were in the headline. I didn't read the articles. I imagine what's contained there. But from two different articles, two different women, the first one said this, I wish I'd had a late-term abortion instead of having my daughter. The second one, having an abortion allowed me to become a good mother. The foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Those are foolish women. They are fools. They've completely rejected this. And there's a lot of them out there, folks. Some are just ignorant. They don't understand what abortion is. They don't understand the damage that they're doing, not only to their homes and themselves, but to society. But I don't think there's any foolish women here. As the Bible says, great men are not always wise. Sometimes all of us act foolishly. We do foolish things. Guilty. May not be a fool, but I've done some foolish things. And I think of Job's wife. This woman at a time of great stress, significant loss, unimaginable sorrow and grief, as she, along with her husband Job, have lost everything, all their servants, all their crops, all their livestock, all their children. And then she watches as her husband is afflicted with this disease. And she has lost everything along with him. And though she's not suffering the physical pain that she's enduring, she's standing by and watching him suffer. And in that moment of weakness, she says, curse God and die. Just give it up, Job. Just curse God and die. Not a foolish woman, but she spoke foolishly, for Job says, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. He didn't call her a fool. That wasn't her character. But he said, you're acting foolishly, wife. And he trusted God the same. And if any of you ladies have been convicted by anything this morning, understand, it's not because you're a fool. But like all of us, you may have done some foolish things. Acting foolishly. The enrollment of Proverbs 14 is at it steadily. Go back to Genesis chapter 2 for just a moment, or 3, excuse me, Genesis chapter 3. Verse 2 of chapter 3. The serpent showed up as they're Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, and the woman said in verse 2 unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, true, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die, false. God didn't say that. She added to God's word. As she's standing there, as she's being tempted by the serpent, she starts twisting God's word. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's also a lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's the truth. Because it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they partook it, their eyes were opened. So even Satan speaks truth sometimes. Be careful who you listen to, ladies. Verse 6, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She plucked. Foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. That's what Eve did. Ladies, be careful. Don't be guilty of acting foolishly. Be wise. Go back again to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, see, taming that tongue, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, not aborting them, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Ladies, your actions not only reflect on your family, they reflect on God. You are a valuable individual, ladies. Young ladies, you got a value. Don't give it away. Hold that value. Keep yourself pure. Mothers, be wise. Building and guiding and keeping your homes, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Irene, if you just want to play softly, number 39, please. We're not going to sing, but if God speaks to your heart as we pray, you come as I pray this morning. Father, you've blessed this church with some good people, some good mothers, some good aged women. We thank you for that, God. And I don't believe any one of the women here is a fool. But But sometimes we all fail and act foolishly. God, help us to strive to be all that you desire for us to be. And not just the women, but the men and the children as well, to work together to build the home that honors and glorifies you. God, I pray this message this morning would have been a help and an encouragement. Maybe a little bit harsher than I should have been, but God, help us, Lord, to be all that you want for us to be. God, we don't know how much time we've got left. There are people all around us that are dying and going to hell that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help us, God, to conduct ourselves in such a way that they would see our good works and glorify you, our Father, which art in heaven, rather than blaspheming your word. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.